Lesson 3, the life-giving indwelling spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This morning we come to lesson number 3, so we can flip there in our outline. Lesson 3. How about let's read the title of the summer school together, followed by the title of this lesson. Okay, does everybody have it yet? Okay. Those of us who have it, let's start with the title of the summer school. Ready? Go. The two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. And the lesson 3, the life-giving indwelling spirit. Again, the life-giving indwelling spirit. Amen. So, I want to begin in this way by saying that the topic of this summer school, and if you're taking notes, you should be taking notes, I want you to write this down. The topic of this summer school, the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. Okay, so that I just restated the title, is the key to experiencing and enjoying everything in God's economy. Okay? The topic of this summer school, the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, are the key to experiencing and enjoying everything in God's economy.
Amen.
Okay? I'll say it one more time. The topic of this summer school, the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, are the key to experiencing everything in God's economy. Okay. So, I believe in the first message, we talked about God's way to accomplish His eternal purpose, image, and dominion is by dispensing Himself. Well, this morning we come to, how does God dispense Himself into us?
Amen.
Right? So I want to begin in this way because let's begin with the first Roman numeral. Let's read that together. Because God, after completing the work of creation, passed through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection,
ascension, and descension, we may speak of Him as the process God.
Amen. We may speak of Him as the process God. So, I think the two groups gave a very good review of the process that God has gone through in order for Him to be dispensed into us, right? What is a process? Anybody? What is a process? It's a simple word, right? Can somebody? Go ahead.
A series of steps.
A series of steps. Anybody else? You had your hand up, right? You were going to say the same exact thing. What about you?
Instructions,
right? Which have a series of steps. Very good. So a process, I think I like that definition. A process is a series of steps, or you could say it's a process, right? It takes time to get from one point to another point. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself because I don't know a lot about you guys. What I do from day to day is I'm a doctor. Anybody want to be a doctor? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, we have a few. Okay. Well, in order to become a doctor, you have to go through a process. You have to go through, what you're going through right now, right? You have to go through elementary school and junior high. Then you'll go to high school. Then you'll go to college, which is 4 years. Then you'll go to med school, which is another 4 years. Then you'll go through residency, for me, which was another 4 years. And then you might do a fellowship afterwards, which hopefully is not going to be another 4 years. But there's a process involved. You have to go through step by step, step by step. Now, I'm still me, right? I'm Albert Lee. But after going through med school, I went through a process. And now, when I'm in the hospital, they call me Dr. Lee. Ooh. Still don't have those license plates yet, huh? But I'm still me, right? But they just gave me another name. So this, in the same way, our God has gone through a process. On the one hand, our God is eternal. Our God is unchanging. But on the other hand, God became a man. Oh, that was not good. God became a man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If without this, then we wouldn't be here, right? God became a man by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He stepped, the infinite God became a finite man.
Amen.
He stepped into time, right? He was not, before he was not limited by space and time, but when he became conceived in Mary's womb, he got confined into this little area and then he came out and he became a man. So he could be only in one place at one time, just like us, right? And then, right, so this is the diagram of the process that God has gone through, right? So I think you guys know this, right? So this is the infinite God. He became a finite man. What do we call this?
Incarnation.
Amen. And it's one of the points in the outline, right? What verses tell us? How about somebody look up John 1:1? And 1:14. One of the brothers, quickly look it up and then stand up and read it to us. And then we'll have one of the sisters look up 1 Corinthians 15:45b. It's actually on the outline, so you don't have to look it up. But anyway, God became a man, right? And that is what we call incarnation. Anybody have John 1:1? Very good. Read it to us with a strong spirit.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was with God.
Amen.
And the Word was God.
Amen. Verse 14. Go ahead, read verse 14. Don't leave us hanging.
And the Word became flesh.
Amen.
Among us.
Amen.
We beheld his glory.
Amen.
Glory as of the only begotten from the Father.
Amen.
Full of grace and reality.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God became a man, right? That's incarnation. Then what's the next step? What's this line here? Say it loud. You guys know this. Human living. Again. Human living. Okay. So, Christ chose to be born. He had to spend 9 months in Mary's womb before he came out, and he was a baby. Then he grew up, and the Bible tells us what happened when he was 12, right, in the temple. And he kept on growing. You know, he probably had to go to school. He probably had to learn how to read and write. We know he probably helped out in the house. He had a lot of brothers and sisters, right? So that was his human living. He passed through a lot of normal things. He had to walk, right? We walk a lot, right? He couldn't just teleport somewhere. If he had to go to Jerusalem, it was however long it took. No airplanes, no nothing. Just maybe he got to ride a camel or something. I don't know. But he was very, you know, these are very normal things. So that's human living. Then how long was his human living? Very good. 33 and a half years, right? After which, what happened? He was crucified. He was nailed on the cross, right? He died for our sins. And he also, in the process of his dying, his life was released, right? There is this infinite God in this finite man, but you didn't see much. You saw this normal person. But when he died, not only did he die for our sins, his blood cleansed us from our sins, but also, right, his life was released.
Amen.
And the Lord, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So where's that sister who's reading 1 Corinthians 15:45? You guys can stand up together if there are two of you next to each other. It's on the outline at the end. Don't be shy. Two sisters. What about two eighth grade sisters? Amen. Very good. Go.
1 Corinthians 15:45.
So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Amen. So in this process, through his crucifixion, he died for our sins, and he also, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So his life was released, right? We actually see that because after he died, he was buried, and on the third day, he was resurrected. And in his resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. But that's not all, right? So we have, I kind of jumped the gun, but anyway, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and descension, right? So when does he descend? When somebody calls on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When somebody believes into the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
He descends.
Amen.
Right? It's just at that instant, right? Because he's everywhere.
Amen.
But he waits until you're open. He waits for our heart to be open. When we believe on him, then he's ready to go in. I'm moving in, right? He wants to make your home, his heart, your heart, his home.
Amen.
You should write that down. God wants to make my heart his home.
Amen.
Amen. So, again, I want to emphasize that on the one hand, this is kind of like a coin. If I were to ask you, what's on a quarter? Do I have a quarter? I've made sure I had quarters this morning. What's on a quarter? A face, Washington, right? But if you look at the other side, what's on a quarter?
A building.
Oh yeah. Now there are all sorts of things on the back. But I have one of the classic ones. What's here? What's here? The eagle, right? A bald eagle, right? So on the one hand, you have a quarter, right? You look on one side, it has George Washington on it. But you flip the coin, then you see an eagle on it, right? So, there, a lot of times in the Bible, there are two aspects of the same thing. And here, I want you to appreciate this, and you should write this down. On the one hand, God is eternal and unchanging. On the other hand, our God has gone through a process. So, it doesn't stop there. So that he can dispense himself into us. I'll repeat that again. On the one hand, God is eternal and unchanging. On the other hand, our God has gone through a process so that he can dispense himself into us. Okay? So I think we can read through the points under Roman numeral 1. Okay? Roman numeral 1a. Through resurrection and in resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. B. Although God is eternal and unchanging, he has nevertheless passed through a definite process. And those are the verses that we read. You know, we talk about this as the two becomes. You should write that down. The two becomes, right? In John 1:14, how does it begin? Those of you who know it, let's say it together. The Word became flesh. So that's this. Incarnation, right? But then, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, what did we read? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So that's here, right? Life-giving spirit, LGS. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So that's another became. God went through a process, right? I'll give you another example. You know, you have a watermelon, right? Huge watermelon. You want to eat the watermelon because it's hot in here, right? Isn't it hot in here? Yeah. Okay. Don't dwell on that. Just think on the watermelon. Keep your mind on the watermelon, right? But how do you get the watermelon inside of you? It's huge.
Eat it.
You eat it. Okay, who said eat it? Okay, but how do you eat it?
Cut it.
You got to cut it, right? Okay, cut it. So one half to you, one half to me.
Thank you.
You just go face in and... No? Then what do you do next?
Cut it again.
Okay, we got a fourth.
Cut it again.
How small do you have to cut it? Until maybe it's a wedge like this, right? So that you can hold on to it. Because if you were trying to hold this watermelon, right?
You
If you're trying to hold this watermelon, you'd be like, I don't know how you'd stuff your face in it.
You can cut it in half and spoon it out.
Yeah, or you could scoop it out, right? But sometimes, maybe, let's say you have a little baby brother or a little baby sister and they don't have teeth. You give them a wedge, what are they going to do with it? They might choke. They don't have teeth. What do you do next? Go ahead. You crush it, right? You crush it until you get watermelon juice. You got. Stay with me here, okay? You have to have the. You crush it so that you get the watermelon juice, the extract, the essence of the watermelon, and then the baby can drink it, right? Well, it's the same way with God. God is huge. You know, there's like there are a lot of children's meeting songs about this, right? He's huge, but how does he get into us? Well, he went through a process, right? Before, God dwelt in unapproachable light. But when he was a man on the earth, wasn't that wonderful, the Lord Jesus? You could talk to him, you could have lunch with him, you can call him up on the phone because they didn't have phones, but you could go over his house, right? And you could, you know, play with him, and he could talk to you, and he was there, you could hug him. Wouldn't you want, I really wish I could hug the Lord Jesus. But we have something better, right? I hope you realize this. We have something better.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus continued this process.
Amen.
He went through human living. He died on the cross so he could become the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
You know, brothers and sisters, our redemption does not stop at the cross. We don't only have the blood. But he is the life-giving spirit. He wants to get into you, and he wants to give you life. He wants to be your life. He wants to go with you wherever you go. And he never leaves us. We'll get to that point. So anyway, not only is now, he's even more approachable than before, right? If you wanted to meet with me, and somebody in California wanted to meet with me, well, I'm here right now, so I can only meet with you. But because the Lord is the Spirit, he's everywhere. So, you know, aren't you happy that when you call on the Lord Jesus, you don't get a busy signal, right? You don't say, please leave a message after the beep, we will return your call. No. He's always available. Hallelujah!
Amen.
He's always available.
Amen.
So the only limiting factor is that we have to turn. If we turn, he's right there. But if we don't turn, you know, we never picked up the phone, right? But he's available to us.
Amen.
So we just, you know, he's even more available than he was when he was on this earth. Because when I want to talk to him, you can talk to him too. And we're not, our signals aren't crossing, right? We can talk to him at the same time, wherever we are. Even when we're alone, right? Even when we think there's nobody there. He's always there with us. He's so available to us.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go on to the second point. The last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45b and the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:17 both refer to Christ. This indicates clearly that today Christ and the Spirit are one. I hope you don't take this point for granted. When you write this down, when you received Christ, you received the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? It's an all-inclusive package. You got the full deal, right? When Christ got into you, God came into you, the Spirit came into you, you got the triune God, you got the Spirit, you got everything that the Spirit has gone through, Christ has gone through, all that Christ has attained and obtained, it's all in the Spirit, and now it's in your spirit.
Amen.
You got the full package. Don't think that just because you have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. No. When you have received Christ, you receive the Spirit. Why? Because Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
You might even want to write that in caps in your outline. Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
We should trumpet that everywhere. Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
So everything that Christ has done is in the Spirit. And we have this Spirit in our spirit. So when we turn to our spirit, we touch the Spirit, we touch Christ, we touch all the triune God.
Amen.
Isn't this awesome?
Amen.
This is awesome. So I want to go back to something that we covered last night in the second lesson, the all-inclusive compound spirit.
Amen.
That is the characteristic of the spirit that we have, right? It is all-inclusive. Do you, who knows what all-inclusive means? Go ahead. You got everything. Have you ever seen an advertisement that said all-inclusive?
No.
No. That's because you don't get such a good deal anymore. But they used to have these all-inclusive travel packages, right? You go on a cruise and it's all-inclusive. Everything's included. You just pay X and you get this all-inclusive package. Well, what's in this package? Well, you can go anywhere on this cruise ship, right? You can go into the pool. That's included. You can go into the restaurant. That's included. You can play, I don't know if they play Frisbee on a cruise ship, but, you know, and then when you get off the ship, then they take care of you when you're off the ship, and the towels are included, and the lodging is included. But sometimes, you know, you may just stay in your own little room, and you may read a book. That's not really taking advantage of your all-inclusive package, right? You should go around. You should explore the cruise ship, right? Well, sometimes we compare the Lord to a blank check. And a blank check means that, you know, everything is signed, everything is ready to go. All you have to do is fill in the person you're paying it to and the amount, right? And, you know, when we say that the Lord is all-inclusive, we mean that He can meet every need.
Amen.
You should write that down. The all-inclusive spirit can meet our every need. So sometimes we need patience, right? We may have a little brother, little sister that's really, really annoying. And it's like, can I play with you? Can I play with you? Can I play with you? Please, please. And that high-pitched sound just goes, ooh. Well, the Lord is with you in that situation, and He can apply Himself as the all-inclusive spirit. Why? Because He went through this process, and now He's in your spirit. And He had also little siblings that inevitably, right? Inevitably, little siblings annoy us, right? But He passed through that. And now He's in your spirit. And now the Lord doesn't just give us patience. He comes to us as patience, and He does the same thing that He already did before. Isn't that wonderful? So we don't have to do it, because we know we don't do it. And we just explode, and they're like, oh my God, go away, go away, go to your room. But if we turn to the Lord is able to do what He already did 2,000 years ago in our situation.
Amen.
So we may need wisdom, right? We may need patience. We may need strength. We may need courage. We may need to not be anxious. Well, these are all things that are all-inclusive, that are in the Spirit. And when we turn to the Lord, we ask Him, Lord, I need You. Right? This is a good prayer to pray. Lord, I need You as my blank. That's the blank check. And you pray that prayer in whatever situation you're in. Lord, I'm anxious about this test tomorrow. Lord, take this test with me. I've prayed that prayer so many times. Probably because I've gone through so many years of school and had lots and lots and lots of tests. And unfortunately, many of those tests I had to take alone. But I'm not alone. Right? I have the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I hope you don't go home and tell your parents that the Spirit, you don't have to study because the Spirit will give you the answers, because the Spirit won't give you the answers during the test. But it's really enjoyable in the middle of a test when obviously you can't call in the name of the Lord out loud. Obviously, you can't do a lot of things, but inwardly, you can just turn to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Here's another one of her essay tests. I don't know what to write. Or I've done this before. Lord, A or C? A or C? But we're opening to the Lord, right? He meets our need in that circumstance. So anyway, I will stop here. Amen. Do you guys know that hymn? Now Christ is the life-giving spirit?
Yeah.
How about let's sing that?
Yeah.
Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit.
Now Christ is the Spirit today. Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. So turn to your Spirit and say,
oh. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. I've been accused of being scary, so I apologize beforehand if I seem scary to you. I'm not. Oh, Lord Jesus. My name is Ivan Ho. I only use Ivan Ho because, let's face it, how many do you know? All right. So, I'm Ivan Ho. I'm from the church in New York City. And I really enjoy spending time with and serving with the young people. I've served some, actually one TA I serve, and it's such a joy when we see the TAs serving after going through the Summer School of Truth. You have a little bit for that, but you know, keep that in mind as you go on someday. You too will be able to serve the Lord and you know, serve your fellow young people. So back to the example of the watermelon, right? Brother Albert talked about the fact that the watermelon needed to be processed before we could enjoy all of it, right? But the contrast between the watermelon and the Spirit is this. When you drink the watermelon juice, you get juice. But when you receive the Spirit, it's like you drink watermelon juice and you get the whole watermelon. Because he is all-inclusive. Amen. Right? There's one verse I want to read from bullet number 2, 2 Corinthians 4:5. And this is because even in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says that the Lord is the Spirit. Amen. Right? And I really like 2 Corinthians 4:5 because Paul makes it clear. Who has it? Whoever has it, read it up to the word Lord. Amen. When you get there. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Go.
Okay. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord.
Again. Amen.
For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Hey.
Christ Jesus as Lord.
Amen.
So there is one Lord. So when Paul says, the Lord is the Spirit, who's he talking about? Christ. Right. We just read it. Christ.
Amen.
Right? So there is one Lord, and that Lord is the Spirit. Amen. Right? So there's no confusion. There's no question. The Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? Let's read bullet number 3, or third Roman numeral 3. Go. Although we receive
Christ as our Redeemer, he came into us not only as our Redeemer, but also as the life-giving Spirit.
Amen. Also as the life-giving Spirit. Right? So, You all have been hearing this for the past few days and probably for a long time, right? When you receive the Lord, you receive all of the Lord. He comes into us as life, as our supply, and our everything, because he's all inclusive. But guess what? You may run into people, maybe at your school, maybe, you know, somewhere else. Maybe you go to a function with your parents and they have kids. Or maybe you may hear a grown-up say this, right? That they're separate. That Christ is Christ and the Spirit is the Spirit, right? But we know from these verses that Christ is the Spirit. And he went through a process to become the life-giving Spirit. This is what he had been longing for. Since eternity past, he purposed in himself, it says in Ephesians, right? He purposed in himself. That means he wanted this. He's been longing for this from eternity past. He wanted nothing more than to get into you.
Amen.
And for this, he went through a process. Now, wouldn't it be shortchanging you if He goes through this entire process and then just gives you this. Right? And this is the Christ that some people have. They have the Christ on the cross. He died for my sins. Hallelujah! But that's it. Right? We know, right? And as Brother Albert said, he had a human living. So when you need patience, he can be your patience. When your little brother is going, I want to play with you, I want to play with you. Right? You can say, no, leave me alone. Or you can say, how about you give me a few minutes, I'll finish my homework, and then we can play. One is Jesusly human, and the other one is just you. Right? So I really enjoy this point, and I hope you see this, right? We get the entire Christ. We get it in his entire living, right? So we don't have a limited Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, right, it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. One spirit. Not two spirits. Not a spirit now and then two spirits later and then a spirit now and then two later. Which brings me to the next point. Let's read it together. Romans 4. We have the living Christ. He is what we need and what we have. We must not think that if we offend him,
he will leave us. He will never leave us.
Amen. He will never leave us. You ever have that feeling? Oh, I wasn't good today. I don't think the Lord is with me anymore. Hopefully you've never had that feeling. But if you've had that feeling ever, I am here to tell you that that feeling is a lie. Amen. It's not true. I appreciate that some said amen. I'll say something about that later if I have time. But the Lord is always with us, right? The Lord is always with you in every situation, wherever you go, whether he wants to be there or... I'll show this with another. Can you come here? What's your name again? Sorry. Andrew. Andrew. Yes. Okay. I'm going to tell you to go left, but go right. Okay. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay. Go right. Good. Go forward. Good. Go left. Good. Go right.
You're on the right.
This is the Lord, right? I don't want to go there.
Alright.
I don't want to go there.
Alright.
Andrew, I don't want to go there. Amen! Now I'm happy, right? So this is the Lord. He's always with us, right?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Whether when we listen to him and when we obey the anointing, right? The anointing is the moving within us. That's the Lord speaking to us. Amen. When we listen to the anointing, the Lord's happy. We have his smile. When we don't, he doesn't leave. In fact, that's when you know that you have the Lord more.
Right.
Because that's when he's talking to you.
Yeah.
That's when he's saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Or if it's too late, well, maybe you shouldn't have spoken to your mom that way. You should go apologize. Right? You shouldn't talk to your mom that way. You shouldn't talk to your dad that way. You should go apologize. That's how we know that our God is living.
Amen.
Because he speaks to us, because we sense his presence through the anointing. When the anointing moves, and you know it's the anointing because it's usually something you don't want to do. Right?
Right?
You see, you're sitting in the cafeteria and the Lord is saying, talk to that one. Sit with that one today. Nah, I don't want to do that. I want to go with my friends. My friends are cool. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Lord goes, I wanted you to talk to that one. Right? And next time the Lord says, hey, talk to that one. And you go, okay. And the Lord is, yes, you did it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right? But he doesn't leave us. Right? And it's important that you know that. He's with you.
Amen.
In every situation, wherever you go. Write that down. The Lord is with me in every situation and wherever I go. Right? Brother Albert talked about hugging, not being able to hug the Lord. Well, Have you ever felt lonely? Well, I can tell you that even though you felt lonely, you were not alone.
Amen.
The Lord was with you, and He's always with you. And that's a perfect opportunity to talk to Him.
Amen.
He loves it when we talk to Him.
Amen.
In every situation.
Amen.
Right? Lord, I feel it. There's two things you can do, right? Lord, I feel lonely. Or, I feel lonely. Or, Lord, I don't want to wake up. It's too early. Or, I don't want to wake up. It's too early. Right? One way, you get this. He's talking to me. She's talking to me. The other one is, oh, I wish you would talk to me. Right? And that's what the Lord wants. Right? The Lord wants for us to long for His smile. And we get His smile when we obey the anointing. Right? But keep in mind, the Lord is always with us. Right? I said before that this is what He was longing for.
Amen.
From eternity past. And then for His entire life. Right? There's one point where He said to the apostles, I wish that I could release this. I wish that I could just be done.
Amen.
Right? And then we see, right, after this, He came here in John 20:22. And that verse is in your outline. Right? It's one of your memory verses, actually. So there He is. How many of you know who Thomas is? Thomas? In the Bible. Not in your locality. Thomas in the Bible. Right? Okay. Do you know the story of Thomas? Okay. That happens in this chapter. So Read John, and when you get to 20, you'll know who Thomas is. But I'll tell you the story. Thomas wasn't there when this happened. Okay? So don't miss the meetings.
Right?
And there's two ways to miss the meeting. One, you could stay home. Or two, you could be sitting in the meeting and doing something completely unrelated to the meeting. Technically, you missed the meeting. But one's better than the other, because chances are, if you're sitting in the meeting, you'll get something. Right? So then the Lord will touch you, and then you'll be in the meeting again. But Thomas missed the meeting that day. That was horrible. But we don't know. We don't know. But he missed the meeting. So there they are in this room, and they're scared. I mean, the Lord died, and they were following Him, and they're scared. The Jews are after them. Because they crucified the Lord, and they're looking for all His followers that, you know, are troublemakers. So they're hiding, and the doors are shut, kind of like here. And then the Lord appears. And if you know this, and if you know this, you get the sense that the Lord appeared in that room. He didn't walk in. He appeared in that room. And He said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right here. So, on that day, they were all in that room, and the Lord said, remember that thing I told you about? He didn't say that. But you can sense it. Like, have you had anything you wanted to do your whole life? I mean, your life hasn't been that long, but I'm pretty sure there's something. I just wish I could do that. And then you finally get to do it, maybe. And you're so excited that I can picture the Lord being so excited He was finally able to come into man.
Amen.
Right? And just like he went into the apostles on that day by saying, receive the Holy Spirit, and He breathed on them. Right? How easy is breathing? Right? Exactly. I mean, you kind of had to think about it to do, but you were breathing all along. You didn't breathe because I reminded you, right? So it's awesome that the Lord, I mean, this is the example. This is what the Lord chose to depict Himself as, the breath. He said, receive the Holy Spirit, and He breathed into them, right? So how do we breathe today? How do we breathe in the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, that's awesome, right? Whenever we want to touch the Lord, whenever we want to activate our spirit, our brother said our spirit is the key to experiencing everything in God's economy. I'll take you back to Brother Ricky's example of Thanksgiving dinner. Right? The life-giving turkey, he said. Remember that? Imagine if the people that invite you over to dinner go through the trouble and they prepare the yam and they prepare the green beans and they prepare the rice and they prepare the turkey, and you sit down and all they bring out is a turkey leg. Sometimes we limit the Christ that we have to just a small portion, right? But we need to realize we have the whole feast.
Amen.
The whole feast is before us.
Amen.
And we experience this simply by calling, "Oh Lord Jesus." Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So maybe with the rest of the time, we can have you share anything that you enjoyed. Maybe from the previous message, if you had something that you almost shared and didn't, or from this message. Now it's your turn. And remember, if you don't use the time, we'll open it up to the serving ones. So you want to go before they go.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
How about let's call the Lord again 5 times.
Amen.